I promise. She's not buying it, clearly. She reties my ridiculous excuse for a hospital gown and covers me back up, tucking me in like I'm a baby. I like being pampered, but this is going to get old fast. Jenna?
Yeah, Jimmy?
I love you. I'm rewarded with a smile that puts all the others to shame.
I love you too.
I smile weakly. I'm tired.
I know you are. You should rest. I won't go anywhere.
I don't know where the fatigue came from, but suddenly I'm exhausted. Jenna slips my oxygen mask over my nose and mouth, and I instantly hate it. I can't kiss her now. It's a sad realization that I can't do any of the things I want to do with my wife right now, except look at her. She sits down next to me and holds my hand. Is this what she did while I was in a coma? Part of me wishes I knew, but the other part doesn't want to know. I don't want to know if she cried, although I know she did. I don't want to know that she didn't take care of herself. I can see it in her eyes. She's tired. She should have been taking care of herself and little one, not sitting by my side, day in, day out. But I'm happy that she did. It warms me to know that she never left my side, that when things got rough she anchored down and held us afloat. She's the last thing I see when I close my eyes. Her head rests on my bed next to me. I want to pull her into bed with me and hold her while I sleep, but I know it's not possible. I heard everything the doctor said. I just don't want to believe it. No sex now, and it'll be questionable later, and because of the damage to my lungs. I'm not breathing at full capacity, whatever the fuck that means. I'll need physical therapy to help me rebuild my stamina. But the worst thing? I'll be carrying around an oxygen tank with me for a while, until I can breathe on my own at 90%. Fucking great. When I wake up, my blinds are closed and it's dark. There's a small light coming from the corner, but that's the only light I can see. I reach for Jenna, but find her spot is empty. She's not here. She said she'd never leave me. My heart rate increases, causing the machine to start beeping like wildfire.
Hey, what's the matter?
My mum comes into view. Her fingers work their way through my hair. She did this when I was little to soothe me. I close my eyes and let her work her magic as I try and calm down. I'm afraid to remove my mask. I can feel my lungs struggling to get air. Tears sting my eyes. I refuse to let the water drip down my face. I will not cry, not now. Who knew bullet holes would cause so much damage?
Are you okay?
I nod. Even though I'm not. I want my wife to be sitting next to me, so I know she's okay. Jenna, I mumble into my mask. My mum smiles, and I don't know if she's doing so because I'm awake or if she actually understood what I said.
Your wife is lovely, Jimmy. I've watched her take care of you for a month. She loves you so much and is very happy that you're having a baby together. I never thought, after Chelsea, that she'd fall in love again. I had hoped, but also realized that you were young, hurt, and going to do whatever you needed to mend your heart. The day you called and told me that you got married, my first thought was that you were doing something stupid and reckless like I read about in the papers. When you said that she was pregnant and you were the father, my words were, "You don't need to marry her because of the baby. You can work something out, maybe live together and raise the baby." And do you remember what you said to me?
I shake my head.
You said, "Mum, Jenna is the one woman that I can see myself falling in love with. I didn't marry her because she's having my bub. I married her because she makes me feel whole." I've watched her, Jimmy. I've watched her to see how she was around you. And do you know what I saw?
I shake my head again.
I saw a woman who loves her husband with every bone in her body. You both make me believe that it doesn't matter how you got together, but what you do once you have each other is what counts. Maybe that's the secret. Maybe everyone should marry someone they don't know well, and let life lead them wherever it takes them. Whatever journey you, Jenna, and little one are on, It's the right one. I can see nothing but happiness for you.
I do wish I had met her under different circumstances, but I give my daughter-in-law all the credit in the world. You were her priority, and she made sure you had the best care possible. But I do think bath time was her favourite.
I smile and move my mask up. Mine too.
Chapter 40. Jenna. We are leaving Chicago today after being here for 6 weeks. Jimmy can't walk without assistance yet, and it's driving him batty. Physically, he can walk, but his oxygen levels are still too low to maintain his normal habits. This also means no performing until he's given the okay by his doctor. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. I'm ready to go back to Beaumont. I'm tired of hospital life. I like to say I'll never be back, but little one's due date is fast approaching. I'm just thankful that Jimmy will be there to help bring her into the world, because if he missed this, I don't think he'd forgive himself. Jimmy's most recent set of x-rays show his lungs have healed, but there's scar tissue that could be bothersome later in life. He has to work with a physical therapist 3 days a week until he's cleared. Liam thought it was a good idea for the band to get into shape, so he hired a guy named Alexander Knight to see to the band's needs. He'll be doing Jimmy's training as well. Liam wants to keep it all in the family. If I didn't know better, I'd think that Liam is developing a mob mentality. Not that you're going to hear me complain. Caitlin and Josie have already dished on his deets. He's single, goes by the nickname Xander, and has the most delectable muscles. This is from Josie. It's a good thing Liam has her wrapped around his finger, because Xander might be his competition. Caitlin says his eyes are caramel-colored, and she might have a hard time focusing when he's showing her how to tone her arms. Damien is still on the loose. From what we've been told, his parents were under surveillance for a while, and were even brought in for questioning. They admitted to knowing about the abuse, saying that he confided in them that he needed help, but they didn't want to meddle. I don't know if I should thank them for not meddling, or bash their heads together for keeping their mouths shut. I'm happy with my husband, who is sleeping for the last time in his hospital bed. Tonight, he'll be in the comforts of our new home, courtesy of Josie and Caitlin. Here's what I learned. My husband is a sneaky little shit. While he was on tour, instead of resting or preparing for that night's show, he, along with my two best friends, were plotting behind my back to buy us a house. When we return to Beaumont, I'll be a suburban housewife complete with a porch swing and a white picket fence. As much as I want to yell at him, I can't. He did this for me and little one, and I'm grateful. I've spent many hours watching Jimmy sleep. It's funny. I never thought it would be an activity that I'm fond of, but I am. I think it's the only time his mind shuts down and allows his body to rest, because when he's awake, he wants. No. He needs to be a part of everything going on. His dad will be here soon. I'm dreading this, and so is Bridget. James had the audacity to ask for a private visit, which I vehemently denied. I don't trust him, and I definitely don't want Chelsea in here alone with him. Jimmy is getting stronger by the day, but he's not in a position to fend off unwanted attacks by a psycho ex-girlfriend or the verbal barrage his father plans to let loose. Maybe Chelsea isn't psycho, and that's an unfair assessment. From what I've learned, they had a pretty solid relationship. Until she screwed up. Maybe I should thank her, because had she not, I wouldn't be standing here today. And Jimmy wouldn't be lying in a hospital bed with a machine hooked up to him, making sure he's getting enough oxygen. So, I'm the bad seed. I brought this on to him. I put him there. Damn him and his intuitive mind knowing that the baby was his.
What are you thinking about?
His voice is raspy, sexy. I want to hear him talk to me like this all day, but he can't. Right now, the most he can go is 20 minutes before the mask has to go on, and sooner if we've been making out like horny teenagers. I shake my head and walk over to him. I don't want him to know I'm second-guessing us meeting. He doesn't need to worry about the guilt that I'm carrying around with me. He's in this bed because of me. His lungs are damaged because I didn't leave when I wanted to.
I let people convince me to stay when I knew how dangerous Damien was. Albeit I never thought he'd try to kill someone. My someone. I lean down and kiss him.
My lips are dry,
he says as I pull away. I nod and reach into the bag of essentials I've placed next to his bed. There's everything here that he needs. Lip balm, handy wipes, lotion, and candy to suck on. I pull out the lip balm and hand it to him. I'm supposed to stop enabling him and let him do things for himself. What the doctor doesn't understand is that I like doing these things for him. It's intimate for us, and we need that right now.
You don't want to do it for me?
He asks, taking the tube from my hand. I do, but you're supposed to do it yourself.
Come here,
he demands. I lean forward so that I'm inches away from him. He smiles as he uncaps the lip balm. He places it on my lips, rubbing it back and forth on my bottom and top lip. He leans forward and kisses me hard.
There. Now I'm all set.
Yes, you are. Knock, knock! You have company, I say quietly enough for him to hear me. He closes his eyes and nods.
I love you.
I lean forward and kiss him again before turning and pasting on a welcoming face. I hear Jimmy adjust his bed so he's sitting up a bit more. Come on in. I sit down next to Jimmy. Mean, I know, but I don't want James and Chelsea to take up both sides of him.
You're staying?
James asks in a snide tone.
She's my wife. You better start accepting it. No need to get angry, son. I was just asking a question. Chelsea and I thought we could spend some time with you. Well, you can do it with Jenna here. Anything that you need to say can be said in front of her. I'm not exactly in a position to be able to repeat myself. Fair enough,
James says as he sits down, leaving Chelsea to stand or sit away from Jimmy, which is my preference.
How are you feeling?
Jimmy shrugs and reaches for his water. I let him do it on his own. The last thing I want is to hear his father's sneering comments about me enabling him.
I'm fine. I'm glad I'm going home today. You're going home? No one told me.
James looks at me, raising his eyebrow.
Jenna doesn't owe you anything, Dad, and neither do I. I'm not even sure why you're here.
James leans closer, resting his head in his hands and takes a deep breath. I have to give him credit. He's putting on a great performance for Jimmy's sake. By his expression, he's not buying it. Chelsea huffs from her corner. I can't help but laugh. She lost Jimmy and ended up with his father. It's gross to even think about. What would possess someone to stoop so low?
I care about you, Jimmy. When I saw the report...
I saw it first, Chelsea blurts out. Well, good for her. James rolls his eyes.
When Chelsea called and told me, we had to come.
Jimmy picks at his blanket. I can tell he's not amused. His heart rate is starting to pick up, too. I watch the monitor for signs of distress. I'll kick his dad out if I have to.
You should have stayed home. Jimmy! No, you listen to me,
he says. I put my hand on him to try and keep him calm.
I went back to L.A. to tie up some loose ends and to tell you that I was married, to share with you that I'm happy and that my wife and I are having a baby, and what do? You tell me to get an annulment and ignore her. And if that wasn't bad enough, you,
he points to Chelsea,
move into my flat and try to pin your pregnancy on me. Yeah, I was fucking stupid to even consider taking you back before I knew about Jenna, but I couldn't get her out of my head, so I did the right thing and left. But no, you had to go and pull this ridiculous stunt thinking I wouldn't find out, but I did. I'm not your baby's father, and you,
he says, looking back at his dad.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Chelsea and I were together for 3 years, and you think in your fucked up little mind that it's okay to sleep with her? You know I had forgiven you for leaving when I was little, but this... I've made changes in my life, and I think you need to be one of them. What you've done is so low, I don't think I can forgive you. I can't look at the both of you across a family dinner and think that this situation is okay, and I'm definitely not letting my daughter be a part of it.
You have some pretty powerful words there, son.
Yeah, well, you've done some pretty shitty things to me in my life.
You dumped Chelsea. Do you need a reminder?
Jimmy purses his lips, shaking his head. No, The vision of her getting shagged from behind with a dick in her mouth is still pretty damn clear. I gasp and look at Chelsea, who isn't making eye contact with anyone. I knew she cheated, but had no idea it was that bad. Jimmy clutches my hand. I'm sorry, I say to him.
Why? I'm sure as hell not. If I hadn't caught her, I probably wouldn't be married to you right now, and this is definitely where I want to be.
My eyes start to water with his confession. I'm sure he's rethinking some of this. Without me, he wouldn't be in this bed, unable to breathe fully on his own. Jimmy turns and looks at Chelsea.
I just want to know why. What would possess you to sleep with my dad and then try and pin his baby on me?
I love him, she replies weakly. He shakes his head and looks like he's in need of his mask. Jimmy, I say quietly.
I'm okay.
He takes a deep breath and I'm there, ready to put his mask on if need be, but he doesn't give me the opportunity.
I loved you, Chelsea, until you threw it all away. We had a good life and I treated you like a fucking princess. I put up with the bullshit from your...
Jimmy stops speaking. He tries to laugh, which only causes a coughing fit. I'm about to put an end to this meeting when he smiles at me. I shake my head, but he starts talking again.
I get it now. Your parents don't know you've been shagging my old man, do they?
Chelsea shakes her head. This is like a never-ending ping-pong match with a back-and-forth.
I see how it is. I'm the lesser of two evils where the Davis men are concerned, so you thought you'd come back to me and that I'd forgive you, and oops, Chelsea's pregnant and Jimmy's doing the right thing. What you didn't count on was me pushing you away and me seeing you have a full-on snogging session with my dad at a coffee shop.
Both Chelsea and James's mouths drop open.
Yeah, I saw you two, so that's how I knew. It's why I never called. It's why, when my wife asks me to change my number, I did immediately without hesitation. I bloody knew you were lying. I knew it. The sad part is that I let this bullshit almost ruin my chance with Jenna. Thank God she loves me, because if I didn't have her right now because of you two, I don't know what I'd do. As far as I'm concerned, the pair of you are dead to me. You're nobodies. You don't exist in my life anymore. Son, you can't say that. I can. You slept with my ex. That's low enough as it is. But then you had to take it one step further and encourage her to pin the pregnancy on me when you knew I was married. You knew I was having a baby and that didn't stop you.
I put my hand on his shoulder to calm him down. I knew this was a mistake, but he insisted. Jimmy closes his eyes as his chest moves rapidly. I pull his mask over his head whether he wants it there or not. These people aren't worth my husband being unable to breathe.
Just until you're able to catch your breath, I whisper in his ear.
He nods, keeping his eyes closed. I have to say, I'm sure the pictures his mind can conjure up right now have to be better than staring at his father and ex-girlfriend.
I love you, I say, reassuring him that I'm here and not going anywhere.
It doesn't matter how screwed up this situation is. I have my own skeletons that he's overlooking. I'm in this for life. Jimmy pulls his mask down and looks in the direction of James.
I'm disgusted that I have the same name as you.
Jimmy covers his face with his hands as I lean on his shoulder. I can't even imagine what he's going through right now. Jimmy looks at his dad.
You need to leave now. I'm going home today with my wife and my friends. Your home is in Los Angeles. You know you won't be able to stay away. That's where you're wrong, Dad. You don't have anything I need or want. Jenna has it all. She's my home.
Chapter 41 Jimmy. Okay, Jimmy, just 1 minute left. Xander is standing behind me, ready to catch me if I trip or lose my footing. I've never been a fan of running, and running on this bloody treadmill makes me hate it even more. But it's working, this physical therapy bollocks, so I'm trying my hardest not to complain. I say we because Jenna hasn't left my side, have been home for a month. Jenna's in her last few weeks of pregnancy, and I'm determined I'm going to be in the delivery room with her and without my need for oxygen. For the majority of the time, I can walk around the house without any complications. At night, I'm hooked up to a machine, and I fucking despise it. Right now, I can't be the husband that I want or need to be, and it makes me feel like I'm less than adequate. I look at the display on the treadmill and watch the seconds tick down. My lungs are burning, but thankfully I'm not gasping for air like I was when I first started this regimen. When I started, I didn't last 30 seconds without Xander having to hold me up so he could slip my oxygen mask over my face. If I ever felt emasculated, it was in that moment. I'm just thankful that no one saw me but him. He works with complete professionalism, and he didn't mollycoddle me. He put me straight back on the treadmill and told me to start again. Because of Xander, I'll be stronger and healthier when little one arrives. The red lights flash and indicate that my training is done. I go from a steady jog to a brisk walk to cool down and decrease my heart rate. My hands find the railings as my lungs start to protest at the amount of work they're doing. I can see Xander as he moves behind me, waiting. The mirror that I'm staring at tells me everything I need to know. He's waiting for me to collapse, but I'm not going to do it, not this time.
How are you feeling?
On top of the world, I lie. I'm okay, but not great, and haven't been since the shooting.
I'm getting better.
Not a lie, but not exactly the truth either. Yes, I feel better, but this is a painstakingly slow process. I want results instantly, like that miracle diet that you hear about on the radio. Instant results. If you starve yourself to death, that is. I'm running myself to death, and as much as I'd like to give up and wallow in a self-imposed pity party, I won't. It's not fair on Jenna to have half a husband just because her ex went psycho and tried to kill me. She was already dealt a shitty hand with him. I refuse to let it happen again with me. I'll be whole again before little one arrives if it kills me, and I will make my wife feel good again.
You're doing well, Jimmy.
Thanks, I say, as I step off the treadmill. My legs don't protest as much as they did when I started, and that's a good thing. My lungs do enough complaining for the rest of my body. They scream for air, and instead of giving in, I go through the breathing exercises that I learned with Jenna at her Lamar's classes.
Do you have your breathing under control? Xander asks.
I nod and inhale my next breath before exhaling and relaxing. Who knew her antenatal classes would help me like this? I would never have believed it, and I've definitely kept that information to myself. There's no way I'd share my knowledge with Liam or Harrison. Xander knows, though, and I can trust him not to say anything to them. Xander has quickly become part of the band and integrated well. We've taken to him, too. At first, I didn't want to trust him, but he's given me no reason not to. He's honest and very upfront about his life. He recently graduated from university and took the first job he was offered, which happened to be in Beaumont. Sadly for the rehab facility, Liam came along and hired him full-time to keep us all in shape. It might not be Xander's dream job, but he's being paid well, and he gets to travel.
"What time's your appointment?"
he asks as he checks my pulse.
"In an hour," I answer.
I'm surprised my voice isn't raspy from the extensive breathing. Jenna's commented many times about my raspy voice, but other than whispering dirty words into her ear, I haven't been able to take advantage of it to its full extent. Another killjoy, if you ask me.
I think the outcome will be positive. I'll send my report over after you leave so your doctor can see your latest results.
Thank you.
What are you hoping to achieve with this visit?
Sex, I blurt out. Xander's mouth drops open as he tries to compose himself and not to have a reaction at my verbal diarrhea. I realize my mistake by the sheer look of horror spreading across his face.
I mean, with Jenna. I haven't been able to have sex with her for months, and the ache is killing me. You had me there for a minute.
Liam would kill me if I cheated on Jenna. Xander nods.
He's protective.
Fiercely, but I admire him for it. I know if I step out of line, he'll be there to give me an ass-kicking.
Somehow, I don't think you'd do that to Jenna.
He's right, I wouldn't. She deserves to be the happiest woman in the world, and hell would freeze over before I disappoint her. No, I wouldn't. Any woman who's been through what she has deserves to be doted on. I need to be whole again so I can be that man for her. I miss being with her.
I miss you, too.
I turn around and see my wife standing at the door. Her hand, the one that has my ring on it, rests on her belly. Little one has run out of space and needs to get here already. Not only am I anxious to meet her, but Jenna is too. I feel like she's been pregnant forever, and I know she feels the same. She's beautiful, though. Everything about her shines like a diamond, and when she smiles, it makes me go weak in the knees. I hope that feeling never goes away.
Am I interrupting?
My teeth bite my lower lip as she walks closer. Jesus, this doctor needs to tell me it's okay to have sex with her. I need to feel her and be close to her. Holding her at night does not sate my desire. Her arm slides around my waist, and I instantly bury my face in her hair. I kiss her neck lightly, enough so she knows I've been thinking about her, but not too much to embarrass her in front of Xander.
We're just about finished, Xander says.
He walks to his desk, thankfully leaving me with Jenna.
I'm feeling optimistic.
Jimmy, it's okay if we can't, you know that.
I shake my head. No, it's not. It's been a month, and I'm much better. Even Xander says so. He better have a damn good reason why I can't have sex with my wife, or I'm going to freak the fuck out on him.
Don't be so dramatic.
I'm horny.
You're insatiable. You know, I've bragged to Josie and Caitlin about that before.
I cringe. Us guys don't do the kiss-and-tell thing. I don't want to know about what they do with their women.
You talk about me to Josie and Caitlin.
She nods as her hand grabs my waist.
I tell them everything, like that little trick you do with your tongue, or how you like to...
I put my hand over her mouth to shut her up. I can't listen to this, not right now. I step forward and grind into her.
If the doctor says yes, I'm shagging you in the car. No foreplay, no dipping my fingers for a taste of your sweet pussy. I'm going to drive us to a deserted road and fuck you senseless, I whisper in her ear.
Jimmy. Her voice is quiet, wanting. I don't care what she says. She wants it. She wants me buried deep inside of her to ease the ache. That's one very important factor in our relationship. We turn each other on and are both willing to give in to each other. And I plan to take full advantage.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you feeling?
The doctor walks in and speaks without looking at me. His face is glued to his tablet. I know this office is using tablets for their charts, but for the love of God, make eye contact with me so you can see how well I'm doing.
I'm good.
He sits down and types. Jenna sits in the corner reading a magazine. I find myself wishing it was Playboy or something to get her in the mood. I wasn't kidding when I told her my plans. Today, foreplay is overrated. I have time to make up for it. Besides, the moment I touch her, I'm going to blow my load.
Mr. Knight says everything's looking good. Your oxygen level is about 90%. I still want to see it higher, but as long as you don't overexert yourself, I don't see a need to carry the tank around anymore. I still want you to sleep with it, though, until your level increases.
Can I have sex?
Jimmy! Jenna screeches.
The doctor starts laughing.
Yes, Jimmy, you're clear to have sex, as long as your tank is near, in the event you start to hyperventilate, which I think might happen.
No kidding, I say. Are we done here?
Yes, Jimmy. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Have fun, you two. He says, winking at me before leaving the room. I wait for the door to shut before turning my attention to Jenna. She's trying to ignore me, but it won't work.
Did you hear him?
Yes. He says you need an appointment in 2 weeks.
Jenna!
I whine. Jimmy, she says as she stands up and walks over to me, I'll be waiting in the car. Before I can react, she's out of the door. and I'm left with a raging hard-on and a visit to the receptionist to get another appointment. When I get into the car, I don't say anything. I slide, for the first time in months, into the driver's seat. Jenna looks out the window. There's a smile on her face. Yeah, she knows what's coming. I start the car and adjust the volume on the radio. Lyrics waft through the speakers, easing the tension that I'm feeling. I haven't had this feeling since I was a teenager. My palms sweat against the steering wheel. I'm trying my hardest not to look over at Jenna until I get to our destination. It's fucking tough, though. I want to touch her now. I want to hold her hand. But I'm afraid that if I let go, I'll swerve off the road. Why am I nervous? It's something I can't figure out. It's not like we haven't been together before. Looking at her belly is evidence enough. But it's been months since we've been together, and I've been out of commission. I turn down a deserted road and drive into the woods. I've driven out here a few times to clear my head and try to find the courage to ask Jenna out. Thing is, I didn't need courage, I just needed knowledge, and it was Liam who supplied that to me one night in the studio. I park the car and turn off the engine. I plug my phone into the aux port and pick one of the many playlists I have for Jenna.
How are we going to do this?
I look at my wife, whose eyes are wandering. I think we've mastered the art of having sex, sweet lips. Jenna shakes her head.
I'm big, Jimmy. It's not like I can lie down.
I wish she'd listen to me when I tell her that I think she's beautiful, that she's the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen. I get out of the car and walk to her side, opening the door and holding out my hand for her. She tries to walk away from me, but I stop her. I spin her around and pin her against the car. I bury my nose in her hair as my hands move up her sides. My fingers dance under her shirt, inching their way to her full tits.
I don't think you're fat. I think you're sexy as fuck, and my dick wants to be buried in you.
Jenna throws her head back when my fingers squeeze her nipples. I latch onto her neck, biting her gently. My cock aches, begging for release. I know I won't last. I'm not expecting much. Pulling my hands away from her chest, I find the waistband of her shorts and slide them down her leg, taking her knickers with them.
Step out, I request.
She steps out of her shorts, never turning to look at me. I place them on the hood of the car. I drop my shorts, and my cock springs against the swell of her ass. She moans when I touch her, confirming what I already know. She wants this. My leg pushes against hers, widening her stance.
Put your foot on the tire.
Never have I been so thankful for her small car. I'm going to buy her a new one before the baby is born, but we might need to keep this one for some little excursions. She does as I ask, allowing me plenty of space to step forward. I exhale loudly the second my dick comes in contact with her. She bends, arching her back, begging me to fill her. I meet her request with no hesitation. I grip her hips, steadying her. I move in and out, slowly. I need to last. I need to experience this as if it was our first time. With each thrust, she gets louder. My name falls from her lips in the most sensual way. It spurs me to increase my speed, and as much as I want to prolong it, I can't. I slam into her as my hand snakes under her shirt. I pull down her bra and palm her breast. She pushes into me, rocking her hips. I'm so close, but I want her with me. I want to feel her clench as I pump into her. My fingers rub on her swollen clit. It's hard and ready to explode. Oh, fuck, Jenna. Oh, fuck. 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 I say with each thrust. I'm... Fuck, sweet lips. I can feel you coming. Jenna moans loudly. Her head is resting against the car. I bite down on her shoulder the moment I feel my body tense. I pump into her faster, pounding my hips into hers. My head rests against her back, my breathing labored, but not out of control. Fuck, Jenna. I needed that. God, I've missed you so much. I've never craved sex the way I have these past few months. I guess what they say is true. Once you find your one, you know.
Chapter 42 Jenna. I sit up, moving as little as possible so not to disturb Jimmy. He still needs to sleep and heal. I'm ecstatic that his road to recovery is almost complete. Watching him with Xander yesterday filled me with such pride. To see him working so hard to achieve his goal is beyond rewarding. He knows the guilt I carry and is determined to prove to me that he's fine. I'm sore right now, and with each movement the ache intensifies. I know I'm supposed to love this feeling after spending the night with my husband, but right now, I just want to roll into the fetal position and lie on the bathroom floor. The cold hardwood floor makes me feel a little better. I must be coming down with the flu. I rest my hand against my forehead. I'm warmer than usual. I don't know how I'll handle being sick and this pregnant. I'm almost unbearable now. A cold on top of this will just make me a raging bitch. Each step I take down the stairs hurts. "Morning, darling," Bridget says over her cup of coffee. She went back to London briefly before coming back to Beaumont. She's going to help with the baby when she gets here. I think it's important for her and little one to bond, especially since she lives so far away. I asked Jimmy if he thinks his mom will move here, and he said no, because it was too close to his dad, even though his dad is in Los Angeles, playing house with Jimmy's ex. "Morning," I say, leaning up against the kitchen counter. I look out into the backyard and smile. Nick, bless his heart, built little one a playhouse to match our house. Our house. I still can't get over saying that. It has everything I never knew I wanted. It's a two-story colonial with a big fenced-in yard and the necessary privacy we need. As soon as I saw the dark slate blue paint and white shutters, I was in love. I didn't care what the inside looked like because just standing outside, I had my dream home. "Are you okay?" Bridget asks, coming to stand next to me. I shake my head and lean down to rest my head on the counter. "Everything aches, and I think I have a fever. Let me check." I allow this because she's become my second mom, even though we've just met. I'd give anything to have my mom here, and she will be soon, but right now, I'm happy that Bridget is with us. "You do feel a little warm. Why don't you go and lie down? Jimmy's sleeping, and I don't want to disturb him. The sofa will suffice." She starts to guide me to the couch, but my stomach isn't having any of it. I cover my mouth and run off to the bathroom. Bridget follows and holds my hair back as I expel last night's dinner into the porcelain god. I heave again and feel a warm trickle run down my legs. "Shit, I just pissed myself," I say through tears. "Today is not going to be a great day for me." "Does your back hurt?" I nod. "Everything hurts." Bridget helps me stand and offers me a washcloth and a glass of water. "Honey, you're in labor. Sit down and I'll go and wake up Jimmy and get you a change of clothes." "It's not time." "Apparently, little one says it is. You'll be fine. Now sit. I'll be right back." I do as she says. Except the moment I touch the seat, a warm geyser rushes out between my legs, soaking the floor mat along with my yoga pants. "Jimmy!" I scream for him. I can hear him coming down the stairs too fast. I close my eyes when I hear a loud thunk, followed by a string of curse words. I stand, only to be met with an excruciating pain across my stomach. "Oh, holy shit," I say as I bend over. "Jenna!" he says as he comes running into the bathroom. "Did you piss yourself, sweet lips?" I roll my eyes and am about to give him a dirty look when I see how red and swollen his eye is. "Jimmy, your eye!" "What's wrong with it?" He stands in front of the mirror and fixes his hair. "Oh yeah, it looks like I'll have a nice shiner." He leans forward
examining himself.
Jimmy?
I whine as another contraction rolls over me. He turns and looks at me.
Oh, shit, I forgot.
Great. He pulls me into his arms. I lean on him, hobbling like I've broken every bone in my body.
Let's get you to the hospital.
I need to change first.
Jenna, don't be vain. You're fine. Besides, they'll give you a gown.
I'm not being... holy fuck. I lean against the wall and work on my breathing technique.
What the hell, Jenna?
Oh, God, Jimmy, I'm in freaking labor. Where's your mom?
Right here, darling. Come on, let's go and get you changed. Jimmy, by the door is Jenna's hospital bag. Take it to the car and bring the car around so we can leave.
Now, Jimmy, or Jenna will be delivering little one on your floor.
Okay, Mom, but you'll stay here with Jenna?
Yes, now go. The back and forth with them is dizzying. I lean on Bridget for support as she walks me back to the bathroom. She leans me against the counter while she picks up the soaked floor mat.
I'll take care of that later. Now let's get you changed.
That awkward moment when your mother-in-law is seeing your lady bits and you don't care. I don't even care that she's running a warm washcloth up my legs. I want to be clean before having this baby.
Thank you.
For what, darling?
For being here and accepting me.
Bridget stands before me.
You make my son happy. That's something I haven't seen in a very long time. I should be the one thanking you.
I try to smile in return, but another contraction washes over me. This one is harder and longer.
I think we should go.
I agree. Bridget washes up before dressing me quickly. She holds my arm as we walk to the door. Jimmy's pacing in the yard with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Jimmy!
The both of us yell. He looks at us, shocked.
What the hell are you doing?
Waiting for you, he exclaims.
Why are you smoking?
I demand. He pulls it away from his lips and looks at it.
It's not lit, ain't it?
I browbeat him until he sets it down.
You're going to kill yourself.
I wasn't going to light it.
Come on, sweet lips. Let's go have a baby.
Instead of walking me to the car, Jimmy picks me up and carries me. He shouldn't be doing this, but I feel so much better being in his arms. He sets me in the car and even puts on my seatbelt. Bridget climbs in the back as Jimmy gets behind the wheel.
I need to call my mom.
Already taken care of. I called her when I was getting your clothes. She'll be on the next flight out,
Bridget says. She starts rubbing my shoulders, easing away some of the tension building. I close my eyes and try to relax and breathe through my contractions.
We're here,
Jimmy says, slamming the car into park.
Take her in, Jimmy, and I'll park the car.
Before I know what's happening, my door is open and I'm in his arms.
Put me down. You're going to hurt yourself.
Bullocks, I don't want the baby to fall out.
Only my husband would think that.
Hi, Mrs. Davis. Ready to have your baby, I see?
Yup. She's like a burst pipe, she's leaking so much,
Jimmy blurts out. That's normal. Follow me. Still in Jimmy's arms, we walk down the hall into a room that is decorated in passion pink. Jimmy groans and I want to bleach my eyes. Who in their right mind decorates like this? Do they think all women are the same and just want to stare at pink flowers while pushing out a watermelon?
This room looks like a bottle of Pepto threw up.
The nurse looks at me and smiles. Jimmy sets me down on the bed and stares at my feet.
You're not wearing any shoes.
I look down. He's right. Imagine that. Guess I would have known had I walked to the car. The nurse laughs.
Put this on and get comfortable. I'll be right back.
Famous last words.
Oh my God, it hurts so much.
I whine to anyone who'll listen. I'm uncomfortable and tired. I've been walking up and down the hall dozens of times. I've sat in every position ever created. I've rocked on a ball through my contractions and nothing. Nothing is making them go away.
It's almost over, babe.
How the hell do you know, Jimmy? Do you have some magic spidey sense telling you that the baby is almost here?
No, I just thought...
Stop thinking.
Okay.
Okay? Nothing is okay.
I'm in pain and your daughter is stretching me as far as the Grand Canyon. How is this okay?
Jimmy closes his eyes and rests his head next to mine. I want to push him away, but he gives me the coveted ice chips that are like crack. I know he's holding them hostage and waiting for me to say nice things to him, but that's not going to happen. I'm angry with him right now.
I love you, Jimmy.
Love you too, sweet lips.
My body tightens as a contraction works its way through my abdomen.
It hurts,
I whine. Tears, or maybe just sweat, roll down my face.
I'm sorry. You should be. It's your demon sperm that did this to me.
Jenna.
Don't Jenna me. I let you stick that thing in me, and now look at me.
You're having a baby,
he says, as if he's trying to sweeten me up.
Babies aren't this evil.
I try to turn away from him, but he holds on to me. It should piss me off, but it doesn't.
I need to go to the bathroom,
I say as the pressure increases. I'll call the doctor. Jimmy stands, but I pull him back to me.
You can't leave me,
I cry out.
I'm not going to. Don't worry.
He reaches over and presses the call button. The door bangs open, causing me to jump.
How are you feeling, Jenna?
The nurse asks.
I need to go to the bathroom.
Let me have a look.
Say what?
The nurse lifts my blanket and puts my feet into the stirrups. How in the hell is she going to check and see if I have to go to the bathroom? Is there some monitor I'm not aware of?
Looks like we're ready to start pushing.
What's this wee shit? Is she pushing too? The nurse leaves me with my legs wide open on this joke of a bed, only to return with the doctor. He sits down and smiles. Creepy.
Jimmy, do you remember what they taught you in Lamaze?
Yeah, I do.
Well, it's time. Okay, Jenna. On the count of three, I want you to push.
How the hell do I do that?
I thought you said you had to go to the bathroom,
he asks. I do, but you won't let me up, I beg.
Jenna, it's your body's way of telling you it's time to push. Push out your little girl so you can meet her.
Easier said than done, in my opinion, but it's clear no one cares what I think. Jimmy helps me sit up. He holds my hand as I bear down.
It burns.
Again, Jenna.
I do this again and again, over and over. Each one is more taxing than the one before. Jimmy feeds me ice chips in between the contractions and pushing. He also wipes my forehead for me and moves my hair away from my face. He's doting, when all I want to do right now is punch him in the junk. I never want to do this again.
I can't do this anymore,
I say, out of breath.
Yes, you can, sweet lips. Just one more time.
Oh? What do you know? You're never touching me again with that evil penis of yours. It's bad news.
Okay.
Okay? What, am I not sexy enough to have sex with now? Is it my fault my vagina is going to be as wide as the Atlantic?
With proper exercises, you can decrease the stretching, the nurse by my head says. Jimmy and I both look at her. He shakes his head and mutters,
not cool.
Jimmy, it hurts.
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay, Jenna. She's almost here. Take a look,
the doctor says. Jimmy and the nurse lean me forward, and I can see the top of her head. She has dark hair. It's slimy now, but I bet it's beautiful.
Look, that's our baby.
She's going to be gorgeous like her mom, he says, kissing me on the lips.
One more push, sweet lips, and you'll get to hold her.
I nod and bear down again. I scream, hoping that the exertion will move her along. I cry when the pressure releases and fall back against my bed. Jimmy stands there looking at the doctor as he's handed a pair of scissors. Wailing starts immediately, and while I should be concerned that he's cut our child, I'm not. I'm falling in love with someone I haven't even seen yet. Little one is set on my chest while the nursing staff and doctors finish up with me. Jimmy sits down beside us. He takes my hand in his and brings it to his lips.
I'm afraid to touch her, I say.
I know, me too. We might break her.
Little one opens her eyes briefly before closing them again. You should hold her, the nurse says. I run my finger down her nose and over her cheek. She reacts by moving her head to where my finger is going. I try not to giggle, but I can't help it.
She's fucking beautiful, Jenna. Thank you so much.
Jimmy stands and kisses me before kissing little one.
She is, isn't she?
The nurse takes her from us to run all the necessary tests to make sure she's okay. To me, she looks perfect. But I'm her mom. I'm going to be biased. I hold Jimmy against my chest, my tears wetting his hair.
I'm sorry for being so mean.
He shakes his head and pulls away. His eyes are filled with tears, and one is definitely bruised, giving him the bad boy vibe.
I love you so much, Jenna. As long as you never tell me to leave you, I don't care what you say to me.
Chapter 43 Jimmy I'm left in the pepto room, as Jenna calls it, with just a few nurses, while another one takes Jenna to the bathroom. I watch them as they weigh and measure little one, whose arms are waving around like crazy. She looks like a little boxer, and has a set of windpipes that can go on for days. I'm not sure how on earth I'm going to get used to this crying. It just means I'll have to find a way to appease her, to make her happy, because hearing her scream her little lungs off like this makes me want to take her in my arms and hold her tightly so I can take away her worries. Worries that she shouldn't have, because her daddy is going to make everything better. Daddy. Daddy. The word falls off my tongue like it's a foreign word. Even though I've said it many times when Jenna was pregnant, it didn't have the meaning that it has now. I'm her daddy. I'm going to be the person she'll go to until some bloke comes along and tries to take my place. I'm responsible for this little creature, and will be until she tells me that she's old enough to take care of herself. I can never see that happening. I'm going to make sure she always needs her daddy. Jenna comes out of the bathroom looking as beautiful as ever. Her smile lights up her face and makes her eyes sparkle. She just accomplished a feat so glorious, I'm not sure I can love her any more. She brought my daughter, our daughter, into this world and has made our family complete. The nurse guides her to the bed and helps her get comfortable. How Jenna can walk after giving birth astounds me. She is freaking amazing. After what I just witnessed her body go through, I'd be bloody knackered. I'd probably want to curl up in a ball and beg for my mum to come in and make it all go away. I can admit I'm chicken shit when it comes to pain. That thought alone makes me grateful that I don't remember being shot. I've experienced enough of the horror story from Liam and Harrison to know it was a fucking nightmare. I'm perfectly fine remaining ignorant and not remembering all the pain I was in. I don't know what to do. Go to Jenna or continue to watch the nurses fuss over little one? They're gushing, as they should be, at how beautiful she is. She looks like Jenna, but with dark hair. Not gonna lie, I was hoping she'd have dark red hair, a mixture of mine and Jenna's, but I'll take her just the way she is, because she's ours. Little one is wrapped up in a blanket and carried to Jenna. The nurse bypasses me as if I'm not even in the room. I get that she's the mother, but what am I? Do women really just consider the man the demon sperm donor and nothing else? I follow the nurse like a lost puppy dog as she hands little one to Jenna. She's sitting up, smiling. When I look at her, I see nothing but pure elation. It dawns on me that she was going to have little one whether I was in the picture or not. I should feel good about that, but a part of me wonders where I'd be right now if I wasn't here. Nowhere, that's where. I'd be lost and still trudging through mud trying to find a purpose in life. I'd be half the man I am now, and knowing that, I wouldn't change what I've got now for anything. Jenna looks at me after little one is placed in her arms. The nurse leaves the room, giving us time to bond with our daughter. Jenna pats the side of her bed, beckoning me to sit next to her. I can't deny her. I'll never be able to deny her of anything she wants from me. I climb onto the bed slowly and with caution. I know she's sore, but she's not showing any signs of being in pain. It's easy for me to remember how gentle she was with me when I was in a bed like this. Her touch was light as a feather, and she left me begging for more. I wanted to hold her then, and I want to hold her now. My arm rests on her shoulder, allowing my fingers to touch the top of little one's head. She's wearing an offensive pink hat, the surefire sign that she's a girl, because all babies look the same. Except my daughter is beauty personified. Jenna runs her finger along little one's cheek, and she raises it in a little smile. Jenna reaches up to her shoulder and unsnaps her gown. Her glorious boob appears magically, and while I shouldn't be turned on, I am. I know I'm going to hell thinking that my wife, who has just given birth, is ready for sex, but I can't help it. I watch in awe as she brings little one to her chest to feed her. We learned about this in Lamar's class, and if I hadn't just witnessed this moment, I wouldn't believe it. Little one knows exactly what to do. Amazing, I say quietly. She is, isn't she? Her mum is, too. I kiss Jenna on the forehead as she feeds our daughter. Every so often she runs her finger over little one's cheek, causing her to start sucking again. Does it hurt?
A little. The nurse said my nipples wouldn't be used to the sucking.
Bollocks! I suck on them all the time. Jenna rolls her eyes.
It's different.
Want me to suck on the other one to get it ready? Jenna gives me a dirty look, but I burst out laughing.
No, Jimmy, you have to be patient.
How patient? I'm afraid to know the answer.
At least 6 weeks.
6 weeks? But I just got you back yesterday. She shakes her head and pulls little one away from one of my favorite parts of her body. How do you know she's finished? Jenna shrugs.
My milk's not in yet, so right now she's just getting my antibodies to help her fight any infections.
And that's enough?
It is for right now.
Amazing. Jenna and I agreed that I'd take little one out to the waiting room for everyone to meet her. She's tired, which is understandable, and doesn't want any company right now. Jenna places our daughter in my arms. A surge of warmth spreads through my body as I hold her to my chest. I wish her eyes would open so I could see her and she could see us. I know she's going to be the most loved little girl ever. All in due time, I suppose.
I love you, wifey. I'll be back soon.
I kiss her on the lips before taking our baby out of the room. I don't want to be gone too long, but I know the importance of the group waiting to see her. They're my family. As soon as I open the door, the two grandmothers meet me. How Jenna's mum got here so quickly is beyond me, but she'll be happy to know she's here.
Say hi to your Nana and Grandma, I whisper into little one's ear.
She doesn't react, but the mums do. They both cover their mouths and allow the happy tears to flow freely.
Oh, Jimmy, she's so beautiful, my mum says.
I nod. You should see her mum. She's the most gorgeous woman in the world. Mrs. Hardy steps forward.
Can I?
As much as I want to say no, I can't. Her baby just had a baby, and I can't begin to imagine what she's going through. I place little one in her arms and watch in amazement as the woman who gave me Jenna coos over our daughter.
She's so perfect.
Again, I'm not about to disagree with her on that one. The mums take turns holding and gushing over the baby. I stand back and watch, wishing Jenna were witnessing this. But she wants to get some rest, and I understand that more than anyone. Finally, after a long, torturous 5 minutes, they hand her back to me. The moment she's in my arms, I'm both elated and calm. My heart is racing, but in a good way. I'm breathing easily now, and don't feel like I'm going to struggle any time soon. Did I need little one to make me feel this way? I walk into the waiting room and am met with a sea of eager faces. Josie and Caitlin are the first to stand up, but they keep their distance. Liam and Harrison stand behind their significant others, and it dawns on me that I'm the only one that has witnessed their child being born.